a good time to relax. We're able to meet many people who love God just like we do. Had an opportunity to share with a few and pray with a couple, and it was really, really good. And when you get an understanding of how other people live, it makes you so much more appreciative of what God has done in us and for us. And I remember one fella said the last day we were in Jamaica, he said, you know, here in Jamaica, we don't have a welfare system. He said, in the United States, you call it welfare. He said, in Jamaica, we say, fare thee well. Because the government's not going to hold you up if you get into trouble. So this morning, if you would, I want us to devote our attention to God's Word and focus on what the Lord has for us today. I would prefer that nobody move around. Don't go downstairs and hang out. Amen? We need to be right here in the auditorium. If you're not teaching a class, you need to be right here. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3. And this is something that has been stirring within me for a little while. I was so blessed. I took with me two books to read, and both of them were Brother Joel Siegel's books. One about assembled together. In fact, I've been teaching some things on the radio about the local church. It's so important. You know, oftentimes people think that if God's going to do something mighty in the earth, He's going to do it through some big name evangelist or ministry. No, He's not. He does it right through the local church. The grace and the anointing is on the local church. When Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, He didn't say, John, I want you to share this message with all the apostles. No, He said, write this letter to the seven churches. And He revealed through them His future purpose and plan. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, God does nothing except He first reveals it to His servants. Well, that's always been the case. God hasn't changed. But I want you to notice in 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to read these verses, and then we'll go back and give you a little bit of context, and then we'll use this as a springboard, if you will, for this lesson. And I really don't think I'll finish this today. 2 Peter chapter 3, begin with me at verse 13. Peter writes this, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. As also in all his epistles or letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led astray with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, Peter wrote this letter to these born-again, Spirit-filled people, talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, he uses a phrase, hastening the coming. In other words, there are things that we can do as the church, not the building, but the people, to speed up the return of the Lord Jesus. And the way we speed up or hasten His return is by sharing the gospel with this present world. Amen. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, I believe chapter 24, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness among all nations, and then shall the end come. So the end hasn't come yet. That means there's still some sharing and preaching that needs to be done. Amen. And so with this mindset, he says, not long after that, that all of the stuff that we enjoy here on this earth is going to be dissolved. It's going to be renovated, it's going to be burned up, and there's going to be a new kingdom established. Now, it's one thing to live your life with a kingdom mentality. It is another thing to live your life attached to this world. And that's what happens to so many people. They become attached to this world. And the world does have some nice stuff to offer. It does. I mean, there are some beautiful things in this world, but you have to realize they're only temporary. And so we've got to live our lives with an eternal mindset. Now, focus with me, if you will, on verse 17. You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's writing this in order to warn these believers that they don't follow the pattern of the wicked and fall from their own steadfastness. What does it mean to be steadfast? It means to be sure. It means to be steady. It means to be consistent. That means you're unwavering. That means you don't quit. That means you don't buckle under pressure. That means when the storms of life come, you stand. You're not blown away. Now, we're going to dig a little deeper into this, and you're going to see some things that I truly believe will bless you and help you. So, what is the remedy for following the way of the wicked and falling from your own steadfastness? The remedy is grow in grace. And that's the title to my message. Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you know that growth is God's natural order? In other words, growth is God's design. God intended that everything that He created grow. Do you remember the account of the book of Genesis? And the Lord said, let the earth bring forth. Well, that's why we have the plant kingdom that we have. That's why we have the food that we do. Another scripture says, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. Now, what is seed time and harvest? That's when we plant seeds in the earth. And then he referred to the fact that we harvest a crop later on. Well, what happens in between seed time and harvest? Growth. If things don't grow, there's nothing to harvest. And so the same thing is true in our lives spiritually. Amen. It is important that we grow in grace. What does it mean to grow? It means to increase. That means to become greater. Are you with me? Yes. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And we'll look at a few verses here. Grow in grace and in knowledge. Mark chapter 4, and we'll go to verse 26. Mark 4, 26. If you got it, say, I got it. All right. Notice what Jesus said. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And so Jesus said, you can compare the whole kingdom of God to this principle of growth. Seed that is planted and taken care of, nurtured, will grow, develop, and eventually produce a harvest. Now, a man doesn't understand all the mechanics of how it works. All he has to know, if you want to be a successful farmer, all you have to know is the season to plant, plant it right, water it, take care of it, keep the weeds and bugs out, and you know so many months later you're going to have to harvest that stuff. That's how the kingdom of God works. Well, the same thing is true in our lives, spiritually. The Bible says that we were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the Word of God. So when with the Word of God came to us, and we believed that Word, and accepted and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then something happened on the inside of us. We became new creatures. Our spirit was reborn. But that is not the end of the story. If we're going to successfully live this Christian life, we must grow. Everybody say grow. Growth is God's natural order. That's the way He set the system up. Amen? That's the way He set the system up. Now, how do we grow specifically? The Bible tells us how. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice verse 2. 1 Peter 2:2. Notice that verse. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Excuse me. Grow. The word in the Greek is odzano, and it literally means to enlarge and increase. Listen to me carefully. I don't care how long you've been warming the pew. Apart from God's Word, you will not grow. Apart from God's Word, you will not grow. You can have an usher's badge on your chest. You can have the finest suit in the room. You can have the longest title under the roof. But apart from God's Word, you will not grow. Now, if there's anything that is frustrating to a pastor, is this: people who do not take advantage of opportunities to enlarge and increase. I remember many, many years ago, I was in a minister's meeting with a bunch of pastors and deacons. These deacons had a title. They had a position, did not understand what the word means. The word deacon, diaconus, servant or slave. You know who real deacons are? People who help, people who serve. But this man had a position. And the Spirit of God prompted me to ask him a question. I said, "Sir, let me ask you something." He said, "Sure." I said, "If I were a sinner and came to you and said, 'I need help. I don't know God. I don't know anything about God. Can you help me?' What would you tell me?" "Well, I'd tell him, 'Get close to the Lord.'" "Nah, wrong answer. I don't know how to get close to the Lord." "Well, I'd tell him to pray." Wrong answer. A sinner doesn't know how to pray. This man who had a title, deacon, did not know how to lead somebody to Jesus. Had no idea. He was clueless. Now, why was he clueless? Well, he had a title, he had a position, but he was not planted in the Word of God. I knew for a fact that this man did not feed on God's Word. Now, if there's one thing that you will learn very quickly as a parent of a newborn baby, and that is this: when feeding time comes, you'd better pay attention to that baby and feed them. Because if you don't, you are in for a rude surprise. They will holler their head off until you feed them. I wish Christian people were as hungry. But many times we become complacent. It's just Wednesday night service. Okay, that's cool. Well, you know, it's just. Okay. Yeah, it is just. It is that. You will never grow apart from God's Word. You will never grow in grace apart from God's Word. And just as a newborn feeds consistently, you must do the same. You must do the same. Well, Pastor Bill, I come to church on Sunday. That's not enough. If you're going to grow in grace and have an eternal mindset, if you don't, you'll become so attached to the things of this world, you'll begin to live and act just like people who don't know Jesus. If you can't say amen, say oh me. You will never grow apart from God's Word. The first psalm says this, Blessed is the man who stands not in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff driven by the wind. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the day of judgment. Blessed is the man who meditates in God's Word day and night. Listen, as a parent, here's something that we all realize. Our children grow. From the time they're born to the time they're adults and we release them into the world, that is a time and a period of growth. We as parents are responsible not for their physical development, but to help them along the way. Now listen, you can have a child, as long as you feed them and shelter them, they'll grow. But will they grow properly? Now, as a parent, there were things that I had to teach my children early on. One of them was, you need to take a bath. And that was such an important lesson that I would bathe them. When my son got old enough, he would do the bathing. You with me? It's important that you teach your children that they need to take a bath every day. Everybody say every day. Now, you won't find anything in the Bible that says, thou shalt bathe every day. But it's pretty much a matter of common sense. I have had to, as a supervisor, in secular situations, I have had to pull people aside and tell them what their mother didn't. Listen, friend, you stink. You are funky. And all the employees who work with you are complaining about your body odor. You need to take a bath every day and wash them funky clothes. See, now, you know, as a supervisor, you got to do that. Now, thank God I haven't had to do that in about 15 years. I remember last time I had to do it. This fella was ripe. And everybody who had to work within close proximity of this guy was miserable. And they would talk about it. So I pulled him aside one day. I said, listen, I said, you know I like you. I care about you. I want you to succeed. But you have an issue and you need to address it. He said, what's that? I said, man, your clothes. See, I put it on his clothes. Your clothes smell. I said, I don't know what it is, but after you bathe, you must put them same dirty clothes back on. You need to take a bath. You need to wash your clothes. And the funny thing was, we have a laundry service that'll do it for you. Just turn in your stuff, they'll wash it for you. And so he said, okay, thank you, I appreciate it. For a few days he did okay. Then he started to go back to the old way. And this is what he said to me, I never will forget it. He said, Bill, people act like I don't bathe. He said, I bathe? He said, I just don't do it every day. He's one of these Saturday night bathers, you know. Listen. If your child is going to grow and develop and function well in society, they need to learn that their body needs to be cleaned daily. Amen? Well, we shouldn't have to teach people that you need to feed on God's Word daily. Every day. Every day. It doesn't mean you read your Bible for 4 or 5 hours, but you need to spend time in God's Word daily. Amen? Every day. Listen, as a pastor, so many issues that I have to deal with and so many problems that I have to cater to people would be eliminated, avoided, and wouldn't even come up if they would do that one thing. Spend time in God's Word every day. I was talking with somebody within the last week, and there was a problem that developed, something that arose, and I asked one of the people, where do you go to church? Well, we don't. There's your problem. You're not feeding on God's Word. And so you want me to swoop in like Superman and save the day, which is no problem. The Spirit of counsel will help me help you. But you need to do something about your present situation. If you're not spending time in God's Word every day, you are not growing. Amen? You are not growing. Now, let me show you how important this is. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to read a portion of Scripture out of the Message Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4. How important is the Word of God? How important is it to spend time in the Scripture? Paul wrote to Timothy, who was pastoring the church at Ephesus at the time, talking about growing in grace. Peter said, just like a newborn babe, feed on God's Word daily that you may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Some people get hung up, well, you know, I don't need the milk of the Word, I'm on the meat of the Word, whatever. Eat daily. I had one person say this years ago, I'll never forget it. He said, too many Christians feed their bodies 3 hot meals a day, feed their spirit 1 cold snack a week, and wonder why they don't have any power. Amen? Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to read from the Message Bible. We'll begin with verse 11. Notice what he said to Timothy. Get the word out. Teach all these things. And don't let anyone put you down because you're young. Teach believers with your life. By word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity. Stay at your post reading Scripture. Now, other translations render this verse reading Scripture publicly. This is how important God's Word is. It needs to be publicly read. But he said this, stay at your post reading Scripture, giving counsel, and teaching. And that special gift of ministry you were given when the leaders of the church laid hands on you and prayed, keep that dusted off and in use. In other words, don't neglect it. Many times if we don't use things, we will lose things. So it's important that we keep them ever fresh and that we keep them ever vibrant. But here Paul wrote to Timothy and said, stay at your post reading Scripture. Now, for those of you who were in the military, you know what it means when someone says, your post. In other words, that's where you are supposed to be. At a designated time, for a designated length of time. So all of us as believers have a responsibility to be at our posts daily, reading Scripture. Amen? So we all need to develop some kind of habit of study, some kind of method of study, whatever's good for you. I like to start my day with the Word, and normally I do with my Kindle. I've got my Scriptures. As long as I got Wi-Fi in my house, I can read the Word of God. There are certain Scriptures that I read every day. Then I supplement that with good material from other places that's based on the Word of God. But it is so important. And just like bathing, you need to do it every day. Amen? You need to feed your spirit on God's Word every day. Now, turn with me to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. We're talking about growing in grace. And you know what? I'm not going to finish this today. I'm not going to stretch this out too far. So we'll close with this portion of Scripture. Psalm 92. The first thing you need to do, if you're going to grow in grace, is be planted in the Word. Be planted in the Word daily. Here's the second thing you need to do if you're going to grow in grace. Notice Psalm 92, beginning with verse 12. It says this, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." I'm one of these guys that does not necessarily adhere to the notion that when you grow old, you have to decline. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that they that are planted in the house of the Lord, when they're older, shall be fat and flourishing. What does that mean? They're still increasing. They're still growing. They're not on the decline, but rather on the increase. Are you with me? Yeah. Now, what is the key? Being planted in the house of God. So many people's problems would be avoided if they were planted in the house of God. I can't tell you how many times Valerie and I, last summer, we'd run into people and start conversations with them. Well, where's your home church? Well, I go to such and such. And then they'd say, but I haven't been in a minute. In other words, they're not planted. Okay? When you're planted, you're there. Amen? When you're planted, you're there. We're not water lilies that just float around. Some people live their lives that way. They'll never grow. In order to grow, you must be planted. Now, let me show you something. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree and shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I'm going to share from my own experiences. This is something that somebody said to me about 12 days ago. I had a fellow that I've known for about 12 years. And he said to me, he came and said, "Congratulations on your wedding." He said, "I'm happy for you." And then I could tell he's hanging around. He wanted to talk. He said, "You know, Bill," he said, "I've watched you for the last several years," and he says, "I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you went through what you went through." He said, "But I'm happy for you, and it's such a blessing to see you get married." He said, "I've watched you for 12 years. This is what a guy said to me. I work with this fellow. "I've watched you for 12 years, and I don't know how you did it." He said, "I couldn't have done it." Well, what he doesn't know is that when you're planted in the house of God, you draw your nourishment and your strength from Him. And I've said this many times. I said, I don't care what you go through in life, there is a well of grace that's deeper. The nice thing is, I've been making deposits into that grace well for 35 years. And so when I needed the grace of God to rise up and strengthen me, He was right there. Amen? He was right there. And He will always be right there. Because I'm planted in the house. Amen? Now, notice what it said. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Valerie and I were just in Jamaica. It was grand. It was great. I shared this with somebody this morning. One of the fellas came up to Valerie. Two guys. One guy said, "Welcome home, sister," you know, thinking she's from Jamaica. Another guy said, "Welcome, my sister from another mister." I've always heard brother from another mother, but I never heard sister from another mister. And one thing that they have an abundance of in Jamaica, and we were on the north coast of Jamaica, is palm trees. Beautiful. just fabulous. Tall, green, luscious, and they got these coconuts hanging there. We went to one place, and the guy said, walk on this side of the road. You don't want to walk over there because the coconuts will fall and hit you. And he said, and it's not fun when they knock you in the head. But here's one thing that I learned about palm trees. And many times when you travel throughout the Caribbean, you'll see some of the most beautiful real estate in the world. And then right next to it, you'll see a spot that is just plain devastated. Hurricane damage. Storms blow through that place consistently. But there's one thing about palm trees. Palm trees are resilient. Palm trees will stand in the storm. In fact, I read this last week, that a palm tree has the ability to bend almost level to the ground under intense pressure and storms. But when the storm is over, that palm tree bounces right back up. And that's what the psalmist was referring to. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. I wish I could teach you that you'll never have a problem, never have a challenge. It's just not so. We have an adversary who's arrayed against us. You will be challenged in life. But if you'll be planted in God's Word and planted in God's house, you will be just like a palm tree. The storm may be intense for a while, but you'll bounce right back. Yes. And you will thrive. Yes. And you will produce. Yes. And you will look good. Yes. Amen? Yes. You will look good. Yes. Palm trees, they're nice. They're nice, especially when you're looking for shade. It's nice to get under a palm tree. I fell asleep on the beach. Valerie had sense enough to get a towel. You know, here I am, Superman. Yeah. Sun burned me up, boy. I got my head peeling, my legs peeling. Chest is still red. But you know what? It was fun. I take a sunburn any day to lay on the beach like that. Amen. Growing in grace. There are other elements that are involved. We'll talk about some more of those next week. But we have to understand that God wants us to increase. He wants us to grow. The same is true, not only for our lives individually, but also as a corporate body, as a church. Increase. Amen? And in order to do that, sometimes you got to change some things up. But the basics never change. Amen? And God is concerned about you and your life and your family. And He wants you to grow, to increase, to enlarge. But there are some things that you have to do. And you have to make a decision. I'm going to get in the Word every day. Amen. Well, Pastor, I'm busy. Well, if you're that busy, you need to cut something out. Amen. You need to cut something out. You're too busy. Amen. Well, Bill, I ain't got time to take a bath. You lying? You lying. You better get yourself in that shower with some soap and knock that funk off your behind. Don't tell me you're too busy to take a bath. We all know better. And when you get to heaven, don't say to the Lord, Lord, I was too busy to spend time. You ain't going to tell that lie in front of God. You know better than that. Get in the Word. Amen? I like what the Bible says. That God's Word is like water that cleans us daily. Amen? And that's the way we should look at it. You take a bath every day, you spend time in God's Word every day. If you're too busy for the Word, you need to change your schedule, knock something out. I'm sorry, your favorite program, TiVo it, it'll be there. Amen? Or maybe you need to hang up the phone and not talk to everybody.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. And you ain't got that much grass to cut. Amen. You ain't got that much grass to cut. Nobody's that busy. Amen. All right. Everybody say, I've got time for the Word. Every day, I'm going to grow in grace. I am planted in the Word. I am planted in the house. And when I'm old, I'm gonna flourish.
I'm gonna flourish.
I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to increase. And I'm going to be a blessing for all of my days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? What's that? She gonna get off of Facebook?